Hello, everyone. Welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Paula Vail here, your host, and also the host of Choices, Finding Your Joy on WBTVN. I am just so happy to have everyone with us today. I'm thrilled to have with us, to share with you, just a fantastic lady. You're going to enjoy her so much. Today we have with us Catherine Samuelson. She is formerly a practicing attorney. She felt called to move to Massachusetts from Illinois, where she is following a path of spiritual seeking and work, including work as an intuitive counselor and a certified life coach. She's an intuitive. She gives readings. She does so much. She's an author. We're going to talk to her about her fantastic book today, which is called Opening the Heart. I'm just so excited. First off, I want to say welcome, Catherine.
Well, hello, Paula. I'm so glad to be here today.
Thank you so much. So happy to have you here. This is going to be so fun.
Yes. Because when we talked before, I think we just laughed.
Yes, I love it. So we're just going to get people laughing around the world today. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, and I think we need more of that laughter.
Yep, I agree. We're going to do it. Let's begin with a little information. Tell us, what was your journey like from practicing law to working as a psychic and life coach? I mean, that's a story you don't hear very often. I'm very interested.
Yeah, it was about a 180-degree turn, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. Tell us about it.
Well, I grew up in Illinois. I ended up going to law school because I had a self-designed liberal arts major and realized in my junior year at college that I was not going to be able to make a living from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up in law school, and it was a great career, but I think probably all my life in some way I was a spiritual seeker. And back in about 1992, I read a book called Ask Your Angels and made my own set of divination cards. It was so lovely and artistic. I used index cards. Remember those, Paula, the lined cards?
Yes.
That you take notes on?
Yes.
And a number of times I got whatever it was about automatic writing, and someone I knew had told me about a psychic who channeled a being by the name of O'Brien, and I was consulting O'Brien. So even there, I'm practicing law but consulting a psychic. And he said one day I should try automatic writing, and I did. It was very slow for me. It fits and starts, and I kept having to work at it and work at it and work at it. And in the meantime, I was not very happy in that last job I had, which was at Cook County, Illinois, which is a small little local government of about 20,000 employees. Very bureaucratic, very, you know, that. And through circumstances, I realized I wanted to move to Massachusetts. I did. The universe was like, okay, you lived up to this part, but you think you're going to continue practicing law? Mm-mm. I could not get a job. I wasn't from there. I had too many years of experience in the wrong thing. And so finally I said, okay, I'm going to do the channeled angel readings, got certified as a life coach, got the information that led to finally the creation of the book, which is Opening the Heart, Meditations on How to Be, and then at some point said, I'm a lot happier in Vermont. So I then moved from Massachusetts to Vermont. So that, in kind of a nutshell, is the journey.
I love it. What lessons would you say you learned on this journey, Catherine?
That practicing radical ambiguity and radical persistence is important. Because you step out, you don't know, you think you know where you're going, but you don't necessarily know how long it's going to take or the final shape of it. And that sometimes, for example, like opening the heart to publication, you have to keep at it. Persistence. So I call it practicing radical ambiguity and radical persistence. You know, it's
yes.
Radical trust, I suppose.
Yes.
and that there is a deep metaphysical world out there, and we can connect with it, and we can come to a place of trust, and although I'm not perfect at that, but you can become calmer, you can look at all these things that are going on in the world and say, okay, but there still is joy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's still laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot do it all, but I can do my piece of it.
Yeah, love it. And isn't it fun, Catherine, how Source can put things out there? You know, no, you're not going to get that job. Oh, you're going to get this offer. Oh, this is, you're going to get this phone call, or you're going to meet this person. And it can just change the whole direction of our life.
Right. And when I was given the information, it originally came through as somebody said they thought I was supposed to create a set of angel cards, and it became a set of meditation cards. And when I was given the information, I was like, oh, crap, I'm going to need an artist. Because I am not an artist. And that was in May. And then in August, I re-met the woman who is like a deep friend. And it's a book, was my book, became my book designer. We had met in 2002 on a trip to Ireland. Had not seen her for 5 years. And we looked at each other and went, uh-huh. And because I re-met her and the book became my book designer, the photographer is her husband.
Oh my gosh, how
I
great.
I wish I could claim credit for these photographs, because everybody's like, oh my god, these
they're
photographs
so
are beautiful.
Gorgeous. They're so
but
gorgeous.
But I didn't take them.
Yeah, yeah, they are absolutely beautiful. I love it, I love it. So now, as a psychic, what types of guidance are you able to provide your clients? Tell us about that.
Well, as I said, I work with the automatic writing, which is I center myself, pick up an instrument to write with, and the angels and guides come through and they start writing. And
oh my
I know
gosh.
In my head what they're writing, and that's how the guidance comes through. And remind me where we're going with this, but I want to let people know that guidance is guidance. It's not set in stone. As a tarot reader, who James Wanless, who created the Voyager Tarot and the Sustain Your Life card set, said to me one day, he tells clients, if you like the reading, it's up to you to go out and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the reading, it's up to you to go out and make it not happen.
Yeah, love
but
that.
But that said, we can, and I'm not a doctor, I don't practice law anymore, you know, I'm not a therapist, but we can find out, you know, they can talk about health, they can talk about career path, they can talk about life purpose. I'm not what I call a direct medium, where people talk directly to the dead, but we can find out about your deceased loved ones and friends through the angels and guides.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally they'll muscle through directly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But interestingly, and maybe because I'm so verbal, and we do it through the writing, I am not one who sees the angels and guides. And I think it was my own having to trust that this is what was happening.
Yes.
Without seeing them.
Now, when you're
and it works differently for everybody.
Yeah.
In the business,
when you're doing these writings, do you feel which angel or guide is giving these messages in the writings, or
it's
are you just neutral? Okay. Okay.
It's collective.
Okay. Awesome. That is fascinating. That is so cool. So you just connect and you do these writings and then offer that to your client.
I do it verbally because they go so fast and write over and over and over in the same spot, you can't read it.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Oh, my gosh. That is so cool.
I gave up some time ago trying to make it legible. Like, no, just, okay, let's go.
That has to be really fascinating and really fun as well.
Yeah, and when it's going really well, when the client's really open and they're open and the energy's flowing, it's really kind of uplifting and energizing for me. When the client is very overly skeptical and resistant, it's like slogging through molasses.
Does the openness of the client make a difference, do you think, on what comes through as far as the messages?
Yeah, because when the client shuts down, because it's all energy. It's all based on everything at the quantum level is energy and interconnected. And if they are closed off, it's like, I got nothing.
Yes.
I had a client who, I remember at a store, and it was just, I think she was so used to going to someone else, it just was like the door was shut, and I'm like, I've got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned with this client that she was scared, and they came back and said, does this mean she's going to die? I'm like, no. I'm worried if that happens. This is not saying there's anything terrible or awful happening, but it's just not happening between the two of us.
Yes. What is it like for you to work with the angels and guides? And when did you really realize you could do that?
This was going back to when I was drawing those, those divination cards I made and talking about the automatic writing and working with O'Brien, who said, try automatic writing. And again, for me, it took a lot of practice. It was like a word here, a word there, and maybe some sentences. We still don't do punctuation. If I'm writing something out for somebody, I add the punctuation.
Uh-huh.
And it was just over time and then telling me who they were and learning. And it was a long process of going, why me, why me, why me? And then, oh, well, why not me?
Oh, I love that. Wow.
And now it's just like, oh, you know, and people sometimes ask us, like, what's it like? I'm like, it's so normal now. I'm not sure how to say. It's just a part of my life.
Yeah. So, okay, here's a question, Catherine. You do this with your clients. Okay, when you're not with your clients, you're just out there being Catherine, living your day. Do you get messages that are coming through for you as well, and you take a moment?
Occasionally. I sort of have a deal with them that I don't want messages in the grocery store and stuff unless it's an emergency. And part of it is if I don't have something to write with in my hand, it's like, you know, I'm off duty. I was at the local food co-op last week, or the week before, decided I was thinking maybe I needed some, you know, digestive enzymes, for example. And so I pulled a pen out of my purse and I found a little flat place and was like, hello, and yes, this one, you know.
Wow.
So, wow. I mean, other people can get messages, but I think it's a lot healthier if you're off duty at some point.
So when you want messages and you just make a point to maybe sit down and ask.
Yeah. Almost every morning, early in the morning, I sit down and connect with them. Just a lot of it's just to keep the connection clear and going.
Yes. Yes. I love it. I love it. Let's talk a little bit about the work you do as a life coach. Tell us about that.
I really am interested in helping people who are in transition or want to do transformation, people who know they need to change the language of their story from like I can't to I can. So a lot of it is just talking people through things. Again, you have to make sure you're not stepping on therapy line, you know, crossing that line. And I'm not averse to saying to somebody, I think you need a therapist, you know, or a lot of it is nudging people coming up. They have a goal. Like I had a client who had a goal of moving back to where she lived before she moved home to take care of her mother. So, okay. All right. So this is your new goal. You know, we got her there, you know, and then, you know, changing goals. What's your goal? What are the steps to get to the goal? Have you done that step? Why not have you, you know, if you haven't, is there a reason? But also letting them have given themselves a break about, because life happens.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of it about changing the language, and finding ways to, I mean, even simple things like organizing your life. I had a client who, she was always laying on doing her taxes, and her excuse was because of her job was very heavy in March and April. And I'm like, no, start now. You know, figure out, this is how I organize things. How do you want to organize things? She's now, it's like, boom, you know?
Wow.
So some of it's life organization. But it's all, a lot of it built around the goals of the client.
Yes. Now,
and then I get to a point like, well, if we're going to continue this relationship, since life coaching shouldn't be a lifetime relationship, you have to have new goals. Or we have to exit this.
Yeah. So you help them understand how they can create these new goals and then execute them?
Yes.
Got it.
And then kind of help them keep track of their progress.
Mm-hmm.
And also a lot of it is the language, the story. I had a client who, when we first met, was, I would really like to do this, but all my friends and family say I can't. And I'm thinking, well, maybe you can't. But my question was, well, why not?
Mm-hmm.
So it's helping people have a different perspective.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, and it may be in a process like that where somebody says, I can't because, and you say, why not? Well, maybe the truth is they can't, but instead of just having that knee-jerk reaction, let's talk through why you can't and if that's the real story or if that's something that you're, you know, creating a resistance or a block for some reason.
Yes. And I would think there's times where it's a huge difference for them just having you support them in, you know, going after these goals and making a difference. Because there's times where there may be something we are passionate about and really have as a goal, but if we don't have support from others, it can kind of hold us back.
Right, especially if, like with this client, where everybody around her was saying, oh, you can't do that. To have somebody say, well, maybe you can, but let's figure out this. And she eventually did get there. I think it took her longer than she anticipated. But having somebody to say, well, why not?
Yeah. I love it. It's just fascinating and beautiful that you can help people like that, Catherine.
Yeah, I really do like my work. And interestingly, I think having been a lawyer, it teaches you to listen. It teaches you to ask questions. And at the heart, lawyers should be problem solvers.
And I would think with that, you know, attorney background, you have a, you know, you're able to look at things differently and in a different perspective because you're used to, okay, look at it from this angle, look at it from that angle, look at it from that angle. And you can bring that into, you know, other situations.
You know, and I just had a client who had this idea of something she wanted to do in relation to her family, and they, and from the outside, I was able to look at it and go, oh, this is not a good idea.
Yes.
Can do what you want, but this is not a good idea.
Just so you know.
You know, and what if?
And that's great. You can bring those what ifs in there, and she may not even have thought of those what ifs.
Right, or have, because she was so wanted to do this thing, that she wasn't allowing herself to ask those what ifs.
Yeah.
Because in her mind, this was going to be a great thing, and it was going to work wonderfully, and accomplish what she wanted it to accomplish in the family, when the truth was, she probably shouldn't be intervening in this.
Yeah. So when you're doing your coaching, Catherine, do you pull in the the mediumship part of it, the psychic part of it, where you do the writings and the messages?
But occasionally. But it's like really
a different
process. It's more as if it just kicks in like, oh, this is the homework this person needs.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes, there is homework.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Because, you know, I can only support someone in the process, but they have to do some work to get where they want to mm-hmm. go.
Exactly. I love that. You just help them spell it out and maybe help them come up mm-hmm. with a path to follow.
Right. And, yeah. You know, be a cheerleader, a nudger, a keep tracker of.
Yes. Okay, so for the listeners out there that are listening to, you know, your services. So if someone wanted to come to you for a life coach compared to come to you for the psychic messages or the angelic messages, give us how they can look at that to kind of different examples, why and what can I achieve by this? So like for the life coaching, could that be with career? Could it be with relationships?
Although I don't specialize in career, it's mm-hmm. more transitions.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I had one client who wanted to get moved back. I said, okay, that's our goal, you know. This is what we're going to start looking at, you know, the assignments of, okay, do you have friends can you contact, you know, that let people you're moving back, and, you know, figuring out what she could do, because at that point she was a little frozen and stuck. So it's like, okay, this is very, you know, this is what you can do,
yes.
You know, homework. The channel angel readings, they're guidance.
Mm-hmm.
If someone, you know, is this a good person for me to be working with?
Mm-hmm.
How does this person match up for me angelically and energetically? My job is fine for, you know, making money, but it doesn't feel like a path of the heart. What do they see me, you know, exploring and changing into doing? Should mm-hmm. I move to this place or that place?
Mm-hmm.
So life coaching is more when you figured out your goal, or when we can figure it out together. But it's sometimes deeper questions with the channeled angel readings that really aren't addressed often, I think,
yes.
in the life coaching.
Yes.
A lot of people are wanting to know the spiritual path work. I mean, I've had clients for readings. I didn't even know this field existed until a couple clients came and they were told that they should study the field of deep ecology. I mean, stuff sometimes comes out of my mouth and I go, what?
What is that? Wow.
What is that? Where did that come from?
Yes.
So it's another source of information. And I do have a life coach client that every once in a while she'll have a reading, you know, because mm-hmm. it is really quite different.
Mm-hmm.
They can read more about me on my website, and that might give them a feel for the difference.
Yeah, I love it. What would you say is the most rewarding aspects of these services that you offer?
Just the ability to help someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And help them find a path. There are clients who come to me a lot for validation about alternative healthcare practices. Not that they shouldn't be doing the allopathic.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, this is, you know, and seeing them maybe transform their health a bit. But it's all about helping.
Yes, I love it. And that just must be so fulfilling, you know, to know you're making such a difference in so many lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. I love it. Well, we are going to pop out for a break. Everyone, Catherine and I will be right back. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, Paula.
Hello, everyone. This is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on VBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program and look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula Vale here. I am here today with Catherine Samuelson. We are having just a great time chatting, and Catherine has just such a fun history. You know, going from work as an attorney to life coach and angel messenger. I love it. I love it. And Catherine, I'd really like to chat now about your fantastic book. I just have enjoyed it so much.
Oh, I'm so glad, Paula.
Yes, it's a beautiful book. It's called Opening the Heart. So will you please tell us what inspired you to create this book?
Well, I think I mentioned briefly, you know, at the beginning, back in 2007, I was seeing a massage therapist fairly regularly in the area that I lived in Massachusetts, and she was quite intuitive herself. And I came out from the massage one day, and she said, I think you're supposed to create a set of angel cards. And my first reaction was, oh, holy crap, you know, another thing to do. And then it was, I'm going to need an artist. So working with my angels and guides and with the channel being I mentioned earlier, O'Brien, it turned into meditation cards. And at some point, to get it published, I paid Linda to redesign the book and all into a book, and to get it published, we self-published it. But it all started with Rochelle and her saying, "I think you're supposed to create a set of angel cards."
Wow. Wow, and it became a whole book.
Yes.
And in this book, it's also meditations on how to be. Describe mm-hmm. that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Meditations on how to be. What do you mean by that, Catherine?
Well, if you look at the book, there's 28 pairs of meditation images. Mm-hmm. And they are based on what Linda and I started to call seeming dualities, like one is nature, nurture, one is breathe deeply, breathe slowly, you can breathe through anything, and its companion is action is the counterpart to breath be in the world. And it's how you navigate between those two, and you can meditate on both of them at once or put a piece of paper over one and meditate only on one. And it's like, how do you be in the world? And how do you want to relate to yourself, to others, to the world and the divine?
Mm-hmm. So what would you say would be the greatest help to the user in having this book? And going into this book?
I think an open mind.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. And not having any kind of expectations of where you will end up or where you want to go. The part two of the book is some expanded text that you can read along with using the meditation image, but that's only meant as a trigger, because what you might receive when you're meditating could be entirely different. I remember doing a workshop and somebody was talking about what they received from the meditation on an image, and I'm having to bite my tongue from going, no, that's not it. That's what I wrote down here.
yes, that is so fun.
And it was a good lesson for me, because let go, and that's part of it, just open mind, letting it go, and seeing where the journey leads you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the journey is into your heart and then back out again,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yes, that is a beautiful statement. I'm going to give an example to the listeners. Here is a little paragraph in your book, and the title is, "Time does not exist in the heart of the universe. Be there." And then you go on in the paragraph, you know, science tells us that there is no literal heart of the universe. However, whenever you dive deeply enough into your inner self, you know the heart of all things. And then it goes on. Tell us a bit more about what that means. Time does not exist in the heart of the universe. Be there. I love that.
To me, it means that when you go into the depths of your heart, and you connect and you find that stillness where, you know, we're all one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like time just slows down to nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I wish I could reach that more often in meditation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if the listeners have ever meditated and you come back and you go, "Oh, I went somewhere."
Yes.
I don't know where I went, but I went somewhere.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of approaching what this to me means.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, somebody using this, it could mean something else. Quantum physics says there really is no such thing as time. There is time, there isn't time.
Yep.
Time is nonlinear. There are people like time is a spiral or a circle and not really a line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have created time so that we can exist here on Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Something I personally say every day is, I choose to merge with Source and see through the eyes of totality. And I believe totality has no time. There is no time there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everything. I love it. It's very exciting.
Well, the interesting thing is its companion, its seeming duality, is that time exists on the human plane. Be
mm-hmm.
here.
Yes. Yes.
Because we have our soul, we have a body, and to take care of our body, we actually have to be present in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so many of the things you say here in this book, Catherine, just take you back and make you think a little bit. Like, for example, bright starlight illuminates the darkest nights. I mean, that is a powerful statement, because we can be in the darkest moments of our life, but to remember there is bright starlight, and if we look at that starlight and connect to that, we're going to get through that darkness.
Mm-hmm. It's like I can remember my parents died 7.5 days apart.
Oh.
And so there was this deep grief, and suddenly I would have these just moments of sheer joy. And you're like, how can I have joy in the middle of all this grief? That's
mm-hmm.
because life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the universe wants us to find joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But again, on the corollary is clouds exist on sunny days.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, and that says so much.
Yeah, and it's going back to navigating between or around or through these seemingly opposite things that exist at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so thought-provoking. What I get from your book is so many things in here are thought-provoking. I love that. I love that, Catherine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just flipped to what I think is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
In the eyes of the universe, at this moment, you are perfect for who you are.
Oh.
And I say, well, tell a client, if you're having a snit, you're the perfect you having a snit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
But this corollary is, do not stand still, do not be static, grow, heal, change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
and
so much.
Just sort of describe it for the listeners is that there are five plants that are the backgrounds to the meditation things.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until later that I thought, oh, we should have put a list because not everybody will know what these are.
Mm-hmm.
So there are chicory, which is the blue flower, honeysuckle berries, and the purple spiky flower is loosestrife, roses, and water lilies.
The photography is just beautiful. Just beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I wish I could claim the photographs.
They are. And
what I can claim is the good sense to listen to my friend Linda, who is the book designer.
And so much in here is just things that if we take a moment to think about it and pull that into our day, what a difference it can make. Like, you know, find time in your life to just breathe. Because
uh-huh.
We do. We get so into, okay, busy day, got to do this, got to go there, got to do that. And, you know, take time to just breathe can make such a difference.
And oddly, we can get so tied up in stuff, we actually stop breathing for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever noticed, like, oh, I got to breathe?
Yeah. Yeah. That is so true. But that breath is what, you know, takes us back, relaxes us, puts us more in the meditation state, where so much more can come through for us, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
And we rob ourselves of that when we get so busy with life that we don't take a minute to just breathe. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, just even physically, it's not good for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What is, tell us a few of your favorite things in the book. What were you just the most thrilled about putting in your book? What messages?
Well, I was pleased being able to work with the angels and guides. A lot of this came from them. Just the fact that some of the statements seem so simple, but it's like, oh, right, I need to remember that.
Yes.
And then just being able to reconnect with Linda and then meeting her husband and just what all that has meant,
yeah.
You know, the bringing together of the people around the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The three of you just must be so happy with what you've created, because it is, and it as you said, there's so many just simple, beautiful statements. And so many times, you know, and I say to my Reiki students, you know, Reiki is so powerful, but really it's very simple. It's not complicated. Don't worry. It's simple. But yet it's powerful. And that's what so many of these statements are.
Yeah, sometimes we as humans make things much more complicated than they need to be.
Yes, yes, yes.
I was doing a trade with a woman one time, and the angels and guides came through and said, "You're making this too complicated." And she said, "No, you don't understand. It's complicated." It's like, and I thought, "You're not listening." So, and part of it, I think, is that this can help you listen to your heart, because
yes.
we spend too much time in our minds.
Oh, yes.
Because the third part of the book is some exercises that you can do. You can do more, quote, generalized meditation, just choosing an image and working with it. But there are exercises in the back that, for example, my heart story. You pick an image, you go into meditation, and you use that meditation to go in and ask your heart what its story is.
Yeah.
There are a few exercises that ask you to do some drawing afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
One of the exercises is about picking an image and then just starting to write based on that image. So there's a number of things that you can do. I think one of my favorite exercises is the very last one. I was working with I had a life coach at the time, and she was using her horse during the life coaching sessions. And suddenly, and this was a very intuitive horse, excuse me, and this horse could do Reiki on you, and suddenly I was being asked three questions by this horse. Who am I? What am I? Where am I?
Oh. Wow.
You know, and I was answering it in my head, you know. And so that became the last exercise in the book, is sort of a check-in that you can do every once in a while if you've been doing some work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, just changing our habits, with this book, these powerful, simple statements, if we can bring more of that in and help us, slow down a little bit and get out of the mind and spend a little more time in the heart, that can be so powerful in then the direction we go and the path we go and our everyday lives, can't it?
Mm-hmm. One of the exercises came out of what happened to me in a meditation. It's called What Lives in My Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And literally in this meditation, I saw, the Valentine heart shape. And there was a door that opened, and inside was a field of wildflowers. So one of the exercises in the book is to use a meditation image to go into your heart and ask it what lives in it, and then draw it. I've also come up with, on my website, some additional exercises. One is about plant spirit meditation. And there's another about igniting the divine spark within.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find those on the website. They're not in the book because they came later.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So much of your work must be so rewarding. I mean, because you do so much with moving people through fear into hope.
Mm-hmm. And even writing about that, I now I put off having a blog forever. But I do now have a blog called Musings, Poetry, and Such.
Oh.
And there's a link on the website for that as well.
Tell the listeners, share your website information with them if you would, Catherine.
It's CatherineSamuelson.com, and it's spelled KatherineSamuelson. SamuelSon. So it's CatherineSamuelson.com.
Excellent. Excellent. And they can contact you through that?
Yes, there's a contact page that gives the information, but my cell phone is 781-799-7332. And my email address is klsamuelson@yahoo.com.
Awesome. Awesome. With about 5 minutes left in the show, Catherine, what would you want to share with the listeners? What they could do, in their everyday, at home, where they're at, into connecting a little more with their heart and getting out of the brain a little bit and just opening a little bit more to source and the messages that are waiting for them.
I think one of the simplest things that somebody could do is just to sit comfortably and just, you know, maybe just some meditative music in the background or not, and just take some time to sit and breathe, to let it out go. Or you can sit, if you, you know, in a park or in your backyard in warm weather with shoes off, feeling the ground and just letting it all drain into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
There's meditation just to, where you can just simply sit and meditate and ask, you know, how do I find you? You know, just breathe into your heart and see what happens.
Yes.
Of course, use the book.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, homework will be to do some stream of consciousness journaling, just journal and see what comes out. There's, I think, any number of things that you can do, and it's what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of how I practice both. Well, obviously, channel angel rings, they come through and say what they want to say. I had a client yesterday who had in advance asked to have certain questions answered without her having to ask them. Did they do that? Nope, because they had something else they wanted to say first. And they're like, no, you're going to have to answer. You're going to have to ask the questions.
Yes.
So that's very individualized. But even the homework that somebody gets will be based on what my sense of what they need, you know, or would be beneficial to them.
Yeah.
So it's very, individualized.
Yes.
It's not a size fits everybody, you know.
And the
life's not like that.
No, it's not. And to work with the angel readings, is that something, do they have to be near you or can you
I can do it and life coaching in person or I've got clients from Ireland and Germany.
Oh, that is so fun. That is so fun.
And because it's all energy, it works. There is a can be a certain more ramped up in a good way energy when it's face to face, but it works quite well. I've read for people in Texas, Florida, New Mexico,
Yeah. Do you ever have someone say, I particularly would like to ask for a message from Archangel Michael or Raphael or...
No, I've never really actually done that. I'm sure that if they did, they could get something. Because I explain it's collective angels and guides, and it's all connected.
And isn't it just a wonderful thing, Catherine, that the angels are with us? They're always with us. It's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I'll go, can you just go in the other room for a while?
I love it.
You don't have to stay and hang out with me while I'm taking a shower.
And it's so fun how we can get signs, you know, feathers or particular animals that we see or different messages. It's so fun,
right. All
of that. You can just get so into that and so excited.
But on the other hand, not everything is metaphysical. Sometimes it just is, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a combination. Sometimes it's surely metaphysical. You know, I always say to clients, sometimes the flu is just the flu. It's not a big message. It's the flu.
Yep.
You know, the message is you've got yourself worn out and you didn't keep your immune system up. So.
Yeah. So a lot of it is understanding and taking it at what it is and It's just fascinating work that you do, Catherine. It really is.
Well, thank you. And I know that, you know, as a Reiki teacher, Reiki therapist, you do excellent work as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I do adore it. I love Reiki. I do. I love it.
And having had Reiki treatments from wonderful practitioners, I would say, having talked to Paula, if you're in her neighborhood, these are services.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's, you know, we're just a team, Catherine. Isn't it wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the all the people out there doing so many great things and such great work. And it just must be so rewarding for you. I just love it.
Yes, it is. I really am so happy that I made the switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a beautiful journey. I'm just so honored to have had you on the show today, Catherine.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, I am so glad. I'm so glad. And to all my listeners out there, love, hugs, blessings. We'll chat for you next week. We're just rolling. I have lots of great shows lined up for everyone, and love, hugs, and blessings. Catherine, you are just awesome. Love, hugs, and blessings to you, my dear.
And the same to you. And I wish everybody many blessings on their journey of the heart.
Oh, thank you. Goodbye, everyone. Have a happy day.